This evening's scripture reading will be Psalm 130. Psalm 130. I cry out to you from the depths, Lord. My Lord, listen to my voice. Let your ears pay close attention to my request for mercy. If you kept track of sins, Lord, my Lord, who would stand a chance? But forgiveness is with you. That's why you are honored. I hope, Lord, my whole being hopes, and I wait for God's promise. My whole being waits for my Lord, more than the night watch waits for morning. Yes, more than the night watch waits for morning. Israel, wait for the Lord, because faithful love is with the Lord, because great redemption is with our God. He is the one who will redeem Israel from all its sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Peter Marty, the editor of Christian Century, wrote in February issue, "To my mind, Ash Wednesday is spiritually the most uncomfortable day of the church year. For a lot of believers, it takes guts to even enter a church on this day. For one thing, the message is hard. Unlike many other days, the fact that we are all going to die is spoken out loud, quite unapologetically, and it has nothing to do with illness. For another, the liturgy demands a self-examination that can easily intimidate worshipers. We're asked to quit acting as imposters in our own lives, to level with God about all that is not right within us. Vulnerabilities are laid in the lap of God. Sins are stared straight in the face. It's all rather uncomfortable, proving ample reason for wary souls to avoid church on this day. In that regard, letting canyons be our nature teacher for this year's Lenten study seems altogether appropriate to me. There seems to be the same kind of reluctance to enter into canyons. Oh, we enjoy the breathtaking beauty from the rim, but entering into the depths, well, that's a whole nother story. In fact, it is said that only 5% of the visitors to the Grand Canyon ever drop below the rim. Why is that? Well, there are dangers in descending into the canyon. Up against hard, jagged rocks, vulnerabilities are exposed, and a great deal of effort is needed to return safely from the depths. John Wesley Powell, the first person to lead an expedition through the Grand Canyon in 1869, had this to say in his journal. I had the idea that there was one region in the country that was still unexplored, and that was the canyons of the Green and the Grand and the Colorado River. We have an unknown canyon yet to explore, an unknown river to run. What falls there may be, we know not. What walls rise over the river, we know not. What rocks beset the channel, we know not. And it wasn't at all clear that we could survive. But it's more than the rocks and the rapids that threaten survival. It gives us pause when it comes to canyons. Perhaps just as threatening is the idea of self-reflection and introspection that seems to be lurking in the emptiness between the canyon walls. The canyon forces you out of the world of charming ideas and into its own hard realities. Canyons, Belden Lane writes, carry the soul into unfinished grief, into pain we've stifled, the secrets we've hidden, the depression we've feared. We thrill at the idea of canyons as a test of courage, but as mirrors of the soul, they take us to places that we don't want to go. What if we were to go there? What if we began that long journey into ourselves? What if we make it safely back to the rim? Will it look or feel like the same place after having gone so deeply? Is there any way to emerge unharmed after having been immersed in the emptiness and having encountered more of ourselves? Some people sense that the canyon is the real world and that their old lives are not as real and worthy as they had always supposed. They hear the canyon sculptures whispering to them, "You must change your life." Self-examination, change and transformation, these are inherent tasks, not only of Ash Wednesday, but also for the whole Lenten season. Last fall at the lake, at the palm burning, before our palms had been reduced to these ashes, we talked about the formation of canyons. In most cases, canyons are formed by erosion, the sustained friction of water on rock operating over millions of years. Wind, falling boulders, and frost wedging also help in creating these giant troughs across the earth. Other canyons and valleys are formed by slower carving work of glaciers. Think of Yosemite or Glacier National Park. Artists working with wood or stone describe carving as a subtractive art, the methodic removal of anything unnecessary. Sculptors, like glacial geologists, attend to what takes shape as small bits of the world disappear over time. Perfection is finally attained, not when there is no longer anything to add, but when there is no longer anything to take away. It's an important principle in the spiritual life as well. Subtract whatever is superfluous. We strut and fret and puzzle upon our stone stage, yet the canyon is trying to wean us from all of our social identities. Maybe, just maybe, we can survive the rocks and the rapids. Maybe we can withstand and dare say benefit from a clearer and more honest image of ourselves that brings to emerge from the depths of such canyon introspection. But can we survive the emptiness of it all? What has emptiness to offer us? How can emptiness shape anything, much less our souls? What more might we discover of God from within the depths? Thomas Merton said, "The world and time are the dance of the Lord in emptiness. The silence of the spheres is the music of a wedding feast. Indeed, we are in the midst of it, and it is in the midst of us, for it beats in our very blood, whether we want it to or not." We have nothing to fear of the emptiness. It is already within us. It beats in our very blood. It is the place, if we allow it, where more of God's fullness will be made known to us. When we descend into the depths, coming to the bottom is the experience we're looking for. If we but dare to enter into the Lenten canyon of ourselves, perhaps then we will discover the depths of God's love, which will be encountered only in places carved out deeply enough to begin to contain God's vast love. Perhaps in the process of emptying out all of our pretentious selves, we will discover who we are at the bedrock of our souls and our fuller connection to all creation. Against the shadows of the emptiness, perhaps we will begin to see the fullness of beauty emerging around us and within ourselves. And come Easter, having been emptied by our Lenten journey, we will know more of the fullness of resurrection joy and overflow with the inexpressible delight in the praise of our God. But know this, we can hike to the bottom of the canyon and still not get to the bottom of the mystery of things.